Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Agile Podcast. And your host for the day, Mr. Raj Sandhu.
So, interesting week this week. Obviously, we're sitting here in Sharjah Research Park. And this week we've had Dr. Rajan Tripathi come in, obviously from Amity University. Obviously, he's been supporting us on our tech transfer projects, but it's been good to have him, obviously, here for the week. If you want to give yourself a quick introduction.
Thanks for having me here. This week has been really productive. I'm Dr. Rajan Tripathi from Amity University, Uzbekistan. I'm also handling the tech transfer aspect for Baikal. It has been a really interesting week. We met the product development team, the HPC center, and overall it has been really nice this week.
So just out of that, so obviously, like I said, obviously Michael, you're sitting here, and you've been working with Rajan before, but having him for the week obviously has helped. Anything particular that you think has been useful?
Of course, working face-to-face is different from working remotely, right?
Sure.
So there's that interaction side of it. So I think it's been a very productive week, a very informative one as well.
Right.
So in terms of product development, I would say, you can always develop a product without the touch of technology transfer or IP in
it,
right? But having an IP in it, or if you're using a research paper and everything, so it adds a bit of credibility as well as improve the performance of your application that you're developing. So I think having tech transfer, having Dr. Rajan in here, really helps a lot in terms of the product development, whether it's through the actual coding itself, or whether it's through adding different technology, different approach into the applications. We're actually working with one project that we're currently having, so it's more to do with a forecasting tool, something
right.
like that. So,
right.
yeah. So having Rajan's input is very, very helpful. We started to identify the room that we can improve on the applications, we can do more hyperparameter tuning,
right.
which we actually didn't know. So
right.
we're actually using coefficients that are out of bounds on what should be, we should actually be using.
Right.
So he's identified that error there. So
right.
yeah, it's been very helpful.
So this has been if we talk about the university and the industry perspective, so as an industry, we read about, for example, in this particular case, the SARIMA and the ARIMA model. We teach the student that, but we don't implement it
right.
necessarily. So vice versa, working with Mikhail, so I see, okay, he's already done it. Mm-hmm. But here we complement each other really nice. So I am seeing the whole foundation really made up, and I'm tweaking up my knowledge in it, and the hyperparameter which we were talking
yeah.
about. So we're really using the out-of-the-bound parameters. So now that theoretical knowledge comes in, okay, this should be this
right.
much in only.
That's
so
right.
that really helps the whole iteration of the right. product development. It gets better, and it's a good learning experience
sure.
as a professor. And this can be disseminated to the students.
Oh, right, okay, sure. that's good. And obviously, then talking about iteration, you're able to work obviously HPC directly as well with Ranish, right? So Ranish,
right.
how's it helped you?
So as Michael said, we are already working with academic project,
right.
but spending a week with you, so I understand more about academic and how students
right.
work
right.
on projects.
Definitely.
And, yeah, and how we can optimize their workload. Actually, basically what we understand, actually they are more into containerization. And what better than container like in Singularity in HPC? So we can publish Singularity container
right.
optimized for unit students. Instead of building them,
right.
we can give them ready-made Singularity container optimized
right.
for HPC, where they can come and start working on it actually.
Right.
Definitely, and if you remember when I started it, there was a lot of hindrance because we all know HPC, but have you worked on it? It's a different thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So working on the HPC is really a challenge if you talk about the university perspective or someone who has not used it. There's a learning curve, and that's huge, coming directly from the normal computer which you work in and the HPC, because the environment is different. So that has been, because 2 days it took me to learn how to get along the environment, and then finally we have it here. So that's really nice. And the amount of work now which we can do drastically reduces from hours of work to minutes of work. So that has been really nice for a research perspective as well.
The ideation, right? The idea is that you can come up with a rapid experimentation process.
Right.
Obviously, Ahmed's been working obviously on two projects, right? Locally.
Right. Actually, thanks, Dr. Rajan, welcome to QE. Actually, as for any AI project development, we are looking for IPs, which is coming from universities or from research paper. As well as apart from tech transfer, like looking for talented students or talented graduates who can help us work for AI product development. As we are working with Michael as a product development, we have two success use cases for cybersecurity who are working on us, one from Sharjah and one from Abu Dhabi as a part from tech transfer. And looking forward for more students, for more talented people who can have idea, you can productize it.
And then, like I said, one of them is from University of Sharjah. He's graduating.
Yes.
And the other one's from Zayed University.
Yes. So we had a brief meeting. It was not brief. It was a healthy meeting with Dr. Ibrahim from University of Sharjah. We also met the interns which we are working with. It was really nice to see how we are able to gather the local universities, local talent, and helping them being capable for using these technologies. That's really nice.
For this point, also Dr. Rajan, Dr. Ibrahim, he was talking about the gap between industrial area and academic universities. We are trying to share our experience from what we have previously to the student to make them ready for the up to market or ready for the market. Working with product development team, of course.
Right. And even when I interacted with the interns, so they also feel it. So coming from classroom to the real projects is a huge leap.
Right.
And we as a team are a facilitator to that, because otherwise they have to hunt for the job and they might not get the job which they are studying. So getting the things, the projects to work on, which is of their interest, it's a huge thing that we are doing.
That's a good point. So I think, like I said, with job creation, let's say for students, and you know, it's changing, right, all the time. The job titles are changing, the way people at work are changing. And I think the tech transfer, just from what you said earlier, Michael, is normally you'd go to GitHub or Hugging Face for your repository, right?
That's
and then
right.
try a number of different things.
Yeah.
If obviously someone's created that, obviously what you're trying to do now, obviously with Rajan's help, is be one of those open source creators as well. And you can only do that if you're taking, you know, if you have a class full of 30 computer science students, someone within there will have an idea, but someone, maybe 10 people in there might have an idea if they know there's a route to their idea actually being actualized, right? Actually being worked somewhere.
Right.
And so hopefully today, I mean, what you found out this week is, you know, by joining the different, I mean, obviously we don't have, you know, Anung and Satisha for value creation. Obviously Mustafa's missing from the architecture side. But the idea is that you've got the team here that represents each element of the chain that happens within tech transfer.
All right.
And Mahed, obviously the hardware is an important part of that.
Right.
Right. I think sometimes, you know, there's a lot of ideation out there, a lot of software development that goes on, but the painful part, well, there's two painful parts, right? One is Maher in terms of HPC as a service and having having it agile so you can do many different things without being restricted. And the second is the access to data, right?
Which actually it's like can say like a food of AI product or for any algorithm. It's like without the data, of course, we cannot train our model. Cannot do fine tuning, you cannot do inferencing. So without accessing to not only to the data, to the right data, which is more relevant to our AI product, this is, of course, it's a big challenge.
So going back to theory and actual data, right? So tech transfer itself might be that paper might be the bridge.
Right.
So at the moment, when someone has a theoretical idea and someone has obviously the data, if there's a credible paper behind it, it helps both parties, doesn't it? It helps maybe, let's say, the university or the government to say, okay, we will back this paper. Maybe it's something that they will put money into. And obviously the end user who has the data then says, okay, there's a credibility behind it.
Right.
Yeah, that's possibly where the functionality might
absolutely
come in.
So the way I see it, as a AI perspective or as a research perspective, for the past 5-10 years, now with the computation power, like and the need and the computation power both is rising. So the good AI product or a good AI tech can only be developed with the three fundamental factors. One is the good research. Research comes in as a patent or a research paper. Data. That the high quality, because there's neural network, right? It requires more data and the compute power. So the way we sit here, I think we have somehow been able to, you know, deal with all the three things.
Sure. Right.
So we have access to the technology, as is in the research paper. We have access to the data, thanks to you. And we also have access to Mahar. So now combining all these three things, so now we are in a position to create a product which can, you know, bring benefit to the market and bridge the gap between the research and the market.
Yeah.
To add to your point, so first point is talented development team who can develop the product.
Definitely. Yeah. So that experimentation, I think, is what helps, right, with a lot of this. And so I think with places like, you know, you mentioned obviously IT Park, which is in Uzbekistan. Right. Obviously, you've got places like SRTIP in Coventry. We work in the Techno Park there as well, and obviously some places in London. We're looking at obviously other regions, IDDA in Azerbaijan, right. Obviously in India as well.
Right.
You try and work locally. What will happen is, and I still believe it, is with tech transfer, it's too easy sometimes to look at a research paper and say, okay, that's it, that's a research paper. The localization piece still becomes very important, doesn't it? You know, we're talking about obviously doing certain things in the UK around child services, children's services, but obviously the outcomes there, or the, let's say the challenge statement there and the outcomes that you might want are going to be different to the ones that happen in Sharjah. We've already had that discussion,
right,
haven't we, through challenge statements.
Right.
And so I think the good thing that, you know, the unusual thing, which is obviously also very good, is that I said this to you earlier today, isn't it? You didn't think you'd be sitting alongside each other in this type of format. You know, IT has done really well in the last 20, 30, let's say 40 years, in that you have your data center, you have your compute, and you're delivering services. You're now going to a challenge statement perspective, right? Obviously, we have Divyansh is another guy who we have as a researcher, and he goes through various cycles of obviously what the outcomes will be, and he looks at other data sources. So I think in terms of expanding an idea, it doesn't just stop with obviously with what we do. You know, we have domain experts, right, as we mentioned earlier, right, as well. So from a tech transfer perspective, yes, you're academic, you're theoretical, you're looking at these things, but I think the ideation part will come from everyone.
Right.
Yeah, and that could be hardware ideation in terms of your architecture is different,
right,
and it could be obviously software. I'm actually going to use these other softwares I didn't think of, or data sets. And like I say, I think the other thing that we're trying to do, obviously with your skill set, is by combining different university research into one product, right?
Definitely.
Which is not easy to manage.
Right, right. So yeah, that's what we have been doing, right, in product. So for example, in the CSAM one, so we are trying to find out a different research paper combining the C3 aspect of it, the Monet Express. So combining the research from one university, maybe in Japan, other university, maybe in Colombia. Yeah. And the product itself is based in UAE. So right, combining all these and trying to identify these researchers and trying to take them on board. So we are basically picking up different pieces and trying to combine to create a product which can be localized. And at the same time, it can be exported out for different market needs.
And I think that's right. The connectivity, I mean, there's two things, isn't it? One is obviously being able to reach anyone in the world, obviously, which we've had for many years. One could argue the pandemic sort of made it more easier for you to have contact with certain things. But I think the other thing is, you know, where unfortunately software is now going to be replaced, I think, by AI, because you're looking at a challenge statement in more detail. So we're not looking necessarily for a product that we think will solve a challenge statement. We're looking for a number of technology transfer opportunities that will definitely solve a problem because we'll test it first. There'll be certain products that we can solve a certain problem with, but we may not get access to data, right, in a certain part of the country, right?
Right.
So even, you know, like I said, we're working on this one for the UK, one for the police. it's built in the UK, but we can't use it in the UK. But it could be used elsewhere. So that's what's allowing us to do that now in the modern world, is that universities that, you know, weren't your Ivy League or your top ones, they do have individual. And I think the meetings that you've had this week are probably meetings you would not have had had you not come.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the non-traditional universities, there's still a lot of power in them as well.
All right, of course. So, like, for example, we met in the local universities, local professors. So, for example, from the HCT Sharjah, I met Dr. Milan. So he's working on. So that's quite of a coincidence. So so when we were discussing about the Scopus related, purely because it was a professor to professor talk. So we were discussing about how we can publish something which we normally do in the university. So apart from that, so when we started, because he's also interested in the product development and we are also doing research in our university. So one of my university, my student and her major project was doing a pneumonia classification problem. So it was a coincidence that he is also doing the same project. So he was so that was a quite good exchange of ideas, that how the data set which he has. So he has got access to the data in China, and now he's testing in the Sharjah. And so we also have our own model in Uzbekistan. So it will be interesting to how to see that how Uzbekistan more data from the test data from the Uzbekistan can be given to the same model. Because if you have one model and if you give data to the different demography, it might give different results, isn't it?
Because
so that will be quite interesting to collaborate here, you know, coming from two different demography and combining and making a one pro model and how it works. And also we met with from the UAOS, Dr. Ibrahim. He also has his own cybersecurity problem in that domain. So we have, it has been really productive, a lot of idea exchange. So it has been really nice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I said, we talk about rapid experimentation. Not everything will form into a particular product. You know, there has to be a degree of, I'm not saying philanthropy or anything like that, but you have to have a degree of, you're just going to exchange ideas, right? And if it works for somebody else, you don't necessarily have to benefit from it directly, right? But I think the community aspect of it is important, whether you're creating a developer community or a tech transfer community or an academic community, even a startup community, obviously, that you have in the park. I think the other meeting you had was obviously with Dr. Fareed, of corporate strategy at SRTIP, who I think obviously he's explained a little bit obviously what they're going to do in the future. It would be interesting to see what happens with that. But I also think, you know, he was realistic, wasn't he, in terms of the tech transfer. And to be honest, tech transfer sometimes, if you take out China, USA, and probably Japan, it's pretty much the same elsewhere.
Right.
I think sometimes, you know, you've got to take away those countries. There's lots of patents being done, but the actual formation, and I think he hit the nail on the head with a few things that they want to do here,
So the way I see it, and absolutely, it was a brilliant meeting with Dr. Fareed. He has a good, clear vision how he wants to take the tech transfer forward. So the way, as you rightly said, the big, the top countries of the world, like Japan, UK, USA, so these countries have sorted out tech transfer, a lot of billionaires coming out of USA, Ivy League universities, but it doesn't mean that the students at the different, countries like India, China, UAE, Uzbekistan, we also have a brilliant mind, isn't it?
Sure.
But what HPC access, what it has enabled us, that, for example, if one is very good in machine learning or doing the AI stuff, we have developers all over the world, isn't it? So, but now access to the data, and also access to the HPC, because they have, let's say, $1,000 laptop and it doesn't have that much of GPU. You give it 5 GB of data, it will crash.
Right.
So now giving them HPC access enable them to test their proof of concept, validate it. Now this validation part becomes easy now with the access of HPC, and it really helps. It will really help in the tech transfer process, and I'm going to see that in the next 1 or 2 years we will see a lot of tech transfer happening from other parts of the country.
I mean, I think going back to your other point, you know, publishing for publishing's sake. I think that will change. We've got some meetings lined up this week with obviously applied around applied research, right? So next week our academic interaction is always ongoing, but applied research becomes important because from a, you know, and I think the tech transfer thing is, this is where, like I say, as a team, it's very important, isn't it? You know, at what stage do you get the idea? At what stage does the infrastructure need to know? And then even when you have the idea, how in depth do you need to go? Right, these are challenges, right, within a tech transfer team that are hard to make. You know, I think it's possible. I'm not saying, you know, we're not unique as individuals, but I'd hope to see that we could potentially be an example that you can actually say, you know, and again, in the UK, some large companies, they have heads of AI or heads of, you know, they even call them intrapreneurs. So basically, entrepreneur in residence in large companies. And they find it hard to actually maneuver internally. Maybe because sometimes they don't have the framework. That could be one thing, but I think we have to have agility, right? Communication's important, isn't it, Ranish?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And being able to, I think sometimes, you know, if you're gonna give somebody a piece of information, and I think the research paper is a good example. A research paper, traditionally, I think everybody will look at it, it's academic, I'm not gonna touch it, right? But here, I think even you, everyone's read the research papers here, right? I'll admit, you know, it takes me 10 times sometimes to read something to find out where the actual idea is,
right?
Right, and that's something I think, you know, you can encourage that with a lot of people, right?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, you know, having Dr. Rajan with us makes our job as a developer easier, right? We don't need to go through like, you know, a few pages of research paper. Right. So,
but you read it, right?
Read it briefly, but you know, the key
to get an idea,
ideas would be broken down by Dr. Rajan's.
Exactly. So I don't think that, so that's a good point. You know, like I said, it's not a case that we don't read it, but we don't have to struggle with it as we've done before. So I think it goes back to what you said earlier, is that and that might be the bigger challenge generally in tech transfer is, you know, we know, you know, universities around the world, they patent certain products. There's IP related. And, you know, there's certain things that you can do around licensing. You know, if you look at a phone, you know, Samsung will have paid maybe 100 license fees to different companies when they build these phones, right, or Apple or whoever. So I think that the thing is, the advantage we have now is, whether it be from value creation, whether it be obviously to software development, we're not just looking at an individual research paper. We may combine three or four and we can experiment very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It makes sense, right? Definitely. So yeah, see, as a like coming back to the what Mikhail also said, so it's about as an academician, so what we have been trained during our PhDs, and so we read, so we read maybe one paper every week, so we are good at that. But as a product developer, you code every day, so you're good at that. So that's where, as a team, we are complementing each other, right? So and during that process, I'm learning, because you have been like a mentor this week, teaching me how to go about that. So it has been really productive for me. Gonna take it forward. Similarly, some of the skills I might transfer to you.
Sure.
So that point.
Yeah.
Raj, what you told about the research and the publishing for the sake of publishing, that also I would like to take up now. So what universities these days, and now we are not talking about the Ivy Leagues, we are talking about the general universities, the pressure of publishing, or publish or perish, this has to stop. So we are, now, if we talk about the indexing agency like Scopus, so it has been divided into four quadrants, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. So Q1, Q2 is somehow fine, but the Q3, Q4, where a lot of papers are being published, it kind of doesn't make sense, and we're very weak on the conceptualization. Sure. So we should, as a tech transfer and as a part of, you know, showing to the university, academia, because it's a tech transfer is an ecosystem between university and industry. So that also has to be taken into account, that will change the policy, publish what should be published, and things. So we must sensitize these stakeholders.
Yeah, sometimes it might come just down to guidance, in the fact that, you know, if universities have another channel and they're able to actually see that they can commercialize, it may focus them as well, right? So the KPI may change. How many commercializations have you done, right? That could be something that might come, and one hopes it would. If you had to sum up, right, in terms of tech transfer alone, No. When I mean tech transfer, I mean basically from the value statement, the challenge statement, the value creation, commercial viability, obviously having the research, having software development, having AI infrastructure, networking, data movement, everything. If you had to sum up, let's say, should we say one sentence, what advice would you give to somebody is what a team needs to have?
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I just want you guys to know before we resume the stories in this episode that we at ahalbulbaikal.ai are looking for interns. If you know someone who wants a career in AI development, please search us in Google, it's ahalbulbaikal.ai. You will find our website and where you can also send your CV in the contact us page. So thank you so much and enjoy the rest of the show.
So obviously now we've had obviously the week. It's been obviously been fun. Like I say, it would have been good to have like say a couple of other guys, but you know, we're a remote company, right. So we're always traveling around. Now that you've seen obviously Rajan's input as well, and I'll come to you at the end. If you had to sum up in one sentence what you think a good tech transfer team is needed, or what's needed to make a tech transfer possible, successful, how would you sum up in one sentence, Michael?
All right, yeah. So, I mean, the question is very broad, right? But sure. I think there are different many aspects into that. And, you know, as we know, tech transfer is a very difficult path to take on, right? And not everyone is doing it. Not many people is doing it. So, you know, sometimes, one tech transfer project could take up too long, like too many years, right, to do. I think one key component would be, being patient about it, just trusting the process. Being persistent about it. If you know that the product you're building can do impact on the society, right? So that's something that you can always cling into. And yeah, I think patience. And persistence.
That's a good one, yeah.
So in my opinion, for the tech transfer to be successful, you need to be iterative. So you have to try and again, so it will be like more successful.
Ahmed, what do you think?
Yeah, actually, based on my last few months working was to products for good to transfer in my opinion, it could be like mentor, like for listening to like fresh graduated or students, at the same time sharing the experience which you have with them for as a part of tech transfer.
It's a bit like a mentor, right?
Yes.
It's the way that the way that you would guide them,
right?
And also they will say they will ask you questions.
Right.
Yeah?
Listening to them also, because the idea which they have, it's he's thinking it's small idea, but
right.
It's like ideal solution for a challenge or any challenge statement.
That's true. I think just to add to that as well, I think domain expertise is something that the tech transfer process has an important
right.
part to play.
Right.
Yeah. So that part can be quite important right. as well. And Rajan.
So tech transfer, the majority of the stuff which comes in the tech transfer is the tech, isn't it? So tech in terms of the research paper or the patent which you read. So if you want to read a research paper, it's fine. But if you want to come up with the idea which can be then developed into a product, so somebody has done research for 1 year, 2 years, and written that paper. So summarizing and trying to fit that concept in the product which you have thought that. So that takes time, iteration. You need to be quite resilient because sometimes you will not understand some of the concepts because all these are unique researches. So, and you can be an expert of only one domain.
Right.
As a tech transfer person, you need to be updated to all sorts of different tech around that. So it sometimes takes up a lot of challenge, lots of learning, continuous learning you have to do. So I'll say it's a continuous learning process. So you need to be resilient in that.
Resilient. No, definitely. I think, like I said, for a tech transfer team, as Michael said, it's not easy. It's not easy at all.
Not easy.
And I think sometimes it's the change, isn't it? The ability to adapt to constant change.
Right.
Whether that's a change in the university, we've had change in personnel, we've had change in the end user has the likes the idea, you start working, he leaves, then someone else comes in, they're like, I don't know what to do here. So that ability to keep on going, you know, as Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face, right? Yeah. Tech transfer is a bit like that,
right?
Because you're hanging by small threads with each other, and it just takes that little, you know, that snaps. Yeah. That process does get disrupted quite a bit, and the setbacks can be quite heavy, right?
Yeah, also, to add to that, it is definitely a teamwork.
Yeah,
with one person cannot create the whole tech transfer thing. It's definitely so. I have one my role. You have the orchestrator role, you know, in that. So that teamwork is definitely important.
Yeah. No, that's been, I think, you know, and I think blending in, obviously, we've had some good experiences, haven't we, with professors, you know, even, you know, in Kent, you know, Michael went out to see the professor in the UK. You've met, obviously, professors here. Mm-hmm. And I think once you get an idea of what the professor, the academic, you know, obviously yourself as well, Ryan, once they have a drive to do something. And to be fair, I think the ones that really have been helpful are the ones that says, here's the technology, go. You know, and some of the things that we're doing around social causes as well, being able to, you know, strip out the waste that's happening in obviously certain challenge statements, gives encouragement to them as well. You know, I said to you earlier, didn't I? You know, in your work, you want to have a purpose and you want to, you know, have some fun to some degree, right? So the idea is that, you know, if you build that into the tech transfer process, a lot of the subject areas that we're working on, they're difficult. They're difficult to talk about. Obviously, you know, some of the law enforcement, the crime stuff that we work about. You know, we're not professionals in that field.
Right.
But the fact that we were talking to police officers who actually listen to us and say, okay, yes, that could work. You know, that gives you an element of purpose, doesn't it? So I think there's some things like that which maybe you guys don't always see that affects other people, that they say, oh, look, I can trust these guys as well. So maybe trust is another one, isn't it? Trust keeps everyone on the same page as well. So, yeah. So, no, thanks for that. Hopefully that's been quite useful for the crowd as well.
Thank you.
For the viewers. Everyone. And we'll have Rajan. Thanks for coming, Rajan. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajan, for having me. We can call this week as
Tech Transfer Week.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.